Like so many things having to do with September 11th, the money raised and spent on recovery is without precedent. 60% of all Americans made charitable donations in response to the crisis, according to the operators of the September 11th Fund. Those contributions to various charities totaled nearly $3 billion, and President Bush stepped in with a pledge of $21 billion in aid. Modern America has never responded to a disaster of this magnitude, and as NPR's Nancy Solomon reports, there was no roadmap for how to deal with all that money.
Steamer's Landing is a restaurant and bar on the Hudson River with outdoor seating, great views, and what was once a premier location a block from the World Trade Center. Ariel Goodman has lived in an apartment above the restaurant for 10 years.
This place would be packed at 5 o'clock with traders, businessmen, Wall Street types. If you look around this entire restaurant, there are two other people here other than us.
Whether it's this upscale restaurant, the pizza joint up the street, or the candy and nuts shop 5 blocks over, the story from small businesses in Lower Manhattan is the same. The economic losses suffered in the attack were huge, and getting help has been fraught with hassles, delays, and restrictions. Goodman not only lives here, but she owned a mutual fund company on the 87th floor of Tower 1. To apply for federal aid, she needed copies of her tax returns, lost in the World Trade Center. 6 months after requesting copies from the IRS, she got a letter from them saying they couldn't mail the copies to anywhere but her original business address.
And I'm like, what are you, stupid? One World Trade Center doesn't exist anymore. It took me over a year to get my tax returns from the government. So therefore, to apply, my applications to many of these programs were severely delayed because I didn't have the vital information that I needed.
Goodman says the federal grant programs also favored the big Wall Street firms over the mom-and-pop businesses, a complaint that was confirmed this week by a full accounting of the grants published in the New York Times. Goodman organized From the Ground Up, a group of angry small business people from the neighborhood. She recently surveyed her 600 members and found 60% of them are operating in the red. Many put their own homes up as collateral for federal loans.
The loan repayment schedule is right now. So this is really hurting a lot of businesses. And it's very upsetting to find all these small businesses having to put up everything they own in order to obtain this kind of loan when our government has given $15 billion to the airlines, for instance, and never asked anybody for personal collateral.
Some family members of those killed in the attacks are also unhappy about the way government and charitable funds have been managed. Bill Doyle is a Staten Island retiree who lost his son Joseph in the World Trade Center. He's upset that money raised in the name of victims went to people who hadn't lost family members. Doyle says those in the loop, like himself, knew about a lot of charities, while others never knew where to go for help.
If they knew about the Rotary Club, they gave money. If they knew about the Kiwanis Club, they gave money. If they knew about the Heart of America Foundation, they got money. Why wasn't it a list made by the city of every single organization and let everyone know where the monies were?
But in fact, an enormous amount of money was given to family members. The Twin Towers Fund distributed $108 million to the families of uniformed personnel killed at the World Trade Center. The Red Cross raised $1 billion, and $363 million of it went to the families of those killed or injured. Doyle reserves much of his scorn for the September 11th Fund, the huge private charity which he thinks has too broad a definition of victim. It's a criticism that is very familiar to the CEO of the fund, Carol Kellerman.
There isn't enough money in the world to address all of the emotional and economic needs that were created by this catastrophe.
The disaster immediately raised questions U.S. charities had never dealt with before. Should rich people be eligible for charity? Who is a victim anyway? Then the situation got more complicated when the federal government did something it had never done before. It set up its own fund to compensate victims. Kellerman says that created new questions about the role of charities.
Before September 11, charity and philanthropy was generally understood to be about meeting needs. It's not about compensation. It's about how much help you provided to those who were the most needy and what services are available to help people get back on their feet.
The charities had to improvise. They defined who they would help and created a system of coordination, a philanthropic triage. Some of the money went to a myriad of social service agencies that serve people who lost work, needed retraining, or therapy.
All right, so you were out of work 4 months as a result of this. And this will this be your first attempt at getting some mental health services?
Francine Durant-Wernham answers calls to New York's mental health hotline, which is seeing a 20% increase in calls from a year ago. This caller hurt her knee while escaping from the neighborhood near the World Trade Center and has never been able to shake her fear. Anyone with 9/11 related trauma can obtain money to see a therapist of their own choosing.
Then after I finish writing this up, I'm going to transfer you to a benefits coordinator. Okay? Sure. Hold on one sec.
Another grant went to the Salvation Army to help people who lost their jobs after 9/11. Iguaniona Lara, a 39-year-old single mother from Queens, was laid off by Sky Chef, the company that provides airline meals. When her unemployment insurance ran out, Lara says she still couldn't find work and spiraled into debt and despair until the Salvation Army helped her.
I got help in the economic and in the for my soul. They give me the push to keep going. Like, I feel like I was in a hole that I can get out.
Compared to private charities, the way the federal government has helped New York is much messier. Tom Cecil has written two reports from the Ford Foundation looking at how philanthropic and government agencies responded to the crisis. He says they still haven't answered some of those big questions posed by 9/11. Should the government be giving millions of dollars to victims? Should victims be allowed to collect from both government and charity? And where do wealthy victims fit in? The answers, he says, are no less important than evacuation plans or other preparedness measures.
It's a very important part of preparedness, I think. It's an aspect of homeland security that's been seriously neglected.
The charities say they're debating the issues, but Cecil says inside government, no one seems to be thinking about what happens next time. Nancy Solomon, NPR News, New York.